The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I have with me another football fan, a Florida State fan, because he actually went to Florida State. But this is a total aside and unrelated to what we're talking to him about. The reason we're talking to him is because he's co-founder of Leroy and Lewis Barbecue, which is in Austin, Texas. And I know you think, well, you know, Texas barbecue, it's kind of common. Not the way that they're doing it, because among other things that they have smoked cauliflower burnt ends. Now, I would have thought, Evan, that that is heresy, that there would be a line of barbecue fans with torches and pitchforks driving you out of town.
At first, yes, but once people try it, they are converts. It's actually really good. Cruciferous vegetables like that take really well to smoke, really well to like hard, like fire cooking. They actually end up tasting really meaty. So the cauliflower burnt ends are really tasty.
Cruciferous is what? That's Romanescu and
kind of stuff. Any sort of like brassicas, like broccoli or Brussels sprouts or anything like that. Cabbages.
So as I understand it, a burnt end is the sort of pointy end of a brisket that, because it's been on for a long time, it goes kind of crispy and is the most cooked bit. Walk me through how you make cauliflower replicate that. What's the recipe? Right.
So the way that you make brisket burnt ends, you take the brisket, you cook it whole, separate the point from the flat, cube it up, reseason it, and put it back on. So you cook it twice, season it twice, right? Same thing that we do with the cauliflower burnt ends. We take the whole head of cauliflower, coat it in our mustard sauce, smoke it till it gets nice and tender and smoky. Then we pull it off, and then we coat it in our mustard sauce again, and then grill it. So the tips get just a little bit charred, the ends get a little bit burnt, and then it's the whole vegetable. So we carve it down on the block in front of guests the same way that we would carve a brisket. So the point is for vegetarians to experience barbecue the same way that meat eaters do, the way that we can like cut it down right in front of them, and we're also cooking the vegetables the same way we do as the meat.
Now, was that in the hope of getting vegetarians into the restaurant, or is it because barbecue is one of those things, it's hard to eat barbecue every day. It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's hard to eat barbecue every day.
Yeah, I mean, the point of that was to be able to deliver the same barbecue experience to people who do not eat meat or to people who just choose not to eat meat. We get a lot of people who are meat eaters who will get one of our meats and then the cauliflower on like a two meat plate, and then they'll get like a side with meat in it and then a side not with meat in it. So we try to provide a little bit more of a balanced experience than any other traditional barbecue place.
You are working on a book currently. This is New School Barbecue?
That's right.
This is going to be out when?
It's going to be out in spring of 26, so we still got a little bit of time. We're going to deliver recipes and photos at the beginning of next year.
Now, New School, cauliflower obviously being one of, what are the other things that fit in the category of New School Barbecue?
So New School Barbecue to me is basically traditional methods, but different actual cooked proteins. So different vegetables, different sides, but the method that we cook with is exactly old school barbecue. So it's post oak wood, it's simple seasonings, it's, you know, really old school pits, but then we can, you know, butcher out a feather blade, or we can, you know, cook whole hogs in the style of Carolina, but do it in Texas, or we can smoke vegetables. So using barbecue as a method and not just focusing on, you know, the menu of brisket, ribs, and sausage, that's what we're all about.
You said post oak pits. Explain to me your pits and how you fuel them and how you use them.
Sure. So we have two different kinds of barbecue pits at the restaurant. One is an offset barbecue pit, and that has the cooking chamber where we have the fire, and then the cook chamber where all the meat goes, and then the smokestack. And then convective heat and air draw that smoke across the meat, and that's how that cooks. The other type of pit is a direct barbecue pit. So that means we shovel hot, fresh charcoal directly under whatever we're cooking. Fat and juices from that drip onto those coals. That fat and juices vaporize once it hits the coals. And then it creates a completely different style of smoke. So we have two different types of pits, two completely different flavors. And we're really able to utilize them for the best protein, whichever we're cooking.
Now, you need to explain this to me, because as I understand it, your culinary career started in New York restaurants. Is that right?
I actually started in Tallahassee because I was trying to just get a little bit of beer money as a college student. But in earnest, I would say it started in New York. Yeah.
Now, this is the bit that I don't understand. You're in New York restaurants.
Yeah.
That means that if you're working a station, you have gas flames. They are controllable by a burner control, sure, that goes up and down. You do the thing, you get to go home. Why would you pick a style of cooking that requires you to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, cut up post wood that is almost uncontrollable in terms of temperature, unless basically you're using magic? Could you find a more difficult way to cook?
Yeah, I guess, you know, you can't really explain why people follow their passion. It's just, you know, I can't imagine myself doing anything else. I just had to, I felt like I had something to say about barbecue and that nobody else was doing it. And so I just kind of still following that, still kind of like searching for the light at the end of that tunnel, still walking down that path.
And can you replicate it away from your own stuff? Because I assume you learn your own pits and the temperatures that they operate in and how they like to be heated and everything else. Can you switch that on when you go somewhere else, or do you have to read your way into the equipment?
Absolutely. We have been to so many different festivals in so many different settings in different cities and countries that kind of not afraid of anything anymore. Once you cook a whole frozen cow during a thunderstorm, then I feel like you can do anything.
A whole frozen cow.
Yeah, we, for a festival called Birthright a few years ago, Aaron Franklin and myself had to cook like whole quarters of beef on a cinder block pit in Dallas, like during this crazy like thunderstorm with tornadoes and everything. It was a wild experience.
This is Aaron Franklin of Franklin's. This is, again, like yourself, one of the most renowned barbecue cooks in the States. Did it come out okay?
It did, yeah. It was actually pretty good.
So you are over in Ireland as part of the Big Grill. Yes. What are you going to be cooking at the Big Grill?
So we're serving a signature of ours, but kind of just like viewed through a little bit of an Irish lens. So we do beef cheeks at the restaurant. We do smoke and confit beef cheeks. We're dipping a little bit of Guinness in the confit there to add a little bit of richness, a little bit of sweetness, creaminess. And then we're doing a kind of like mix up between classic barbecue side dishes and kind of a classic Irish side dish, right? Colcannon, mashed potatoes and fried cabbage. But the most basic barbecue sides are potato salad and coleslaw, which are potatoes and cabbage. So we're mixing potato salad and coleslaw together. We're going to get cold cannon. And you know I love a pun as well.
So the confit and smoked beef cheek.
Yeah.
How does this work? Because confit is slow cooking in its usually its own fat.
Yeah.
So is that what you render beef fat and put the cheek in it?
Exactly.
It?
Yeah. Really? We smoke them till they're about like well done on the inside. They start kind of like showing some juices and some glistening on the outside, and then we put them into a beef fat confit. And we cook them till they're tender and juicy and delicious.
Because beef cheeks aren't beefy enough without that extra bit of confit.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you then recommend for people to do at home? Because one of the things, if you watch the kind of the Netflix barbecue thing, everybody goes, "Oh, I should try brisket." Brisket is a challenging and difficult thing
very,
to start.
Difficult.
So if you want to do American-style barbecue, but do it survivably at home, what do you cook?
Well, it depends on what equipment you have, and it depends where you are. I would say if you're here in Ireland, you have very, very good beef. You have very, very good pork. If you can get outside to cook any of that stuff, even on a Weber kettle or something like that, start easy. Start with some pork ribs. Start with a pork butt to make some pulled pork. You can even start with...
It's hard to wreck a pork butt.
Yeah.
It's hard to wreck a pork butt.
You just cook it till it's tender. I mean, that's pretty much it. And there's also just really good grass-fed beef here. So I would try to get my hands on some steaks and try to like a really thick cut, nice cote de boeuf or something. You can cold smoke it and then grill it. We do steaks at the restaurant that are like smoked up to temperature, like medium rare, and then just a real hot sear and grill. And that tastes so, so good. And that is, it's maybe not traditional brisket, but that's barbecue.
How are you finding our beef grading system? Because you, of course, have Choice and Prime, and it's all about marbling. We have Europa of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which is very different.
Yeah.
Has that been tricky to read your way into?
So I have no idea how any of the Europa stuff works. But we did get to go visit Rick Higgins at Higgins Family Butchers yesterday, and I was just in awe of the operation, the legacy that they have. Pretty incredible. And we got to walk away with some really good-looking pork chops and steaks that I think we're going to cook up later.
Now, final thing, I committed heresy by talking about American barbecue. One of the things, as I understand it, is that barbecue has styles across the... So you've got Kansas City style, you've got Texas style. What's the difference?
So mostly it is regional, and it kind of has to do with like sauce and wood. But a lot of times when people are talking about Texas barbecue internationally, or when people are talking about American barbecue internationally these days, they're a lot of talking about Texas barbecue. Texas barbecue has grown all over the world, all over the country. It might offend some people in Carolina listening to that, but I don't know if anybody's listening from Carolina.
Huge
right
Carolina
now.
Listenership. Huge Carolina listenership.
There it is kind of like all kind of melding into one, because you see a lot of Carolina people cooking Texas style. You see a lot of Texas people cooking whole hogs. So I think if you're going to be a pit master, you got to master the pit. Doesn't matter what kind of pit. I think if you're going to be some of the best barbecue in the country, in the world, then you got to be able to cook a diverse style of barbecue as well.
Of course, and one of the effects that this is happening is, particularly in the States, there's all of what used to be the cheap cuts are now horrendously expensive. I mean, pork butt, brisket, ribs, short ribs, all of those things yeah. that used to be available for almost nothing.
Beef cheeks.
Yeah, they're now the most expensive cuts that you can get hold of.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw that directly with beef cheeks because we started cooking that as a response to brisket being really expensive. And then once other people started to catch on and cook our style of beef cheeks, we saw those prices start to go up. So we kind of have to be careful what we wish for. You know, maybe we'll, I don't know, what was the next cheapest cut that we'll have to...
Tail.
Popular? Yeah,
nobody
tail.
Does anything with tail. by the way, if people want to go, the Big Grill is on, you're at the Based Camp stage at the Big Grill. What time do you have to be there?
So we did the Base Camp stage yesterday. Tomorrow we'll be serving in the guest chef's area and we'll be for both sessions. We'll be there for the daytime session and the evening session.
Because in advance of that, you have to go to the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Predictions?
Florida State by 3 touchdowns at least.
Oh, really?
I'm putting money on it.
Is that what the spread is or is that just your own personal view?
I think that's my own personal view, but yeah.
Lastly, you talked about the shift through from Tallahassee up to New York and then down. Your original qualification had nothing to do with culinary arts or cuisine. Isn't that right? You got a degree in English from FSU.
In English, yeah. I wanted to be a food writer. I wanted to be in food media. But then I kind of realized that I wanted to be a part of the what people were talking about and not just like be the people who were talking about it, you know?
And so who are the heroes then? Bourdain, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Bourdain's incredible. But, you know, as far as barbecue goes, you know, they started out to be people like Wayne Miller and Aaron Franklin. But now these people are like my friends and my peers. So it's been an incredible journey.
Do they match up to your expectations? Is Aaron Franklin, I remember Ricky Gervais talking about being friends with David Bowie and him saying that he had to sort of remind himself every now and then, that's David Bowie.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the same with Aaron Franklin? Do you have to keep telling yourself that that's still Aaron Franklin?
Yeah, you know, Aaron's very good at kind of taking the edge off people. He's super, super humble and he's just an incredible person. They're an incredible family. What an ambassador for barbecue. He's just a great guy. Can't say enough good things about him.
Is this your first time in Ireland?
It is.
What has been your take so far?
I am loving it. I'm loving every single second of it. The people here are just fantastic. So pleasant. So amazing to be around. The pints are cold. It is great.
Well, I hope you enjoy it and enjoy it for all. You're here for a couple more days after the game and the rest of it.
Yes, sir.
He is going to be at the Big Grill. That is Evan Leroy. And if you want to find out more about them, Leroy and Lewis Barbecue, if you throw that into Google, they have the website there. And it's the kind of thing that will cause you to think about jumping on a plane and heading over.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.